Blog Talk Radio.
A denied entry to USA show.
You go retaliate and do towards your friends, it becomes a gang situation. Listen, you know, y'all up against the military, and then y'all become a militarized zone.
All right, listen up. Have you been stopped at the U.S. border?
Trying to keep it going, you know what I'm saying? But whoever bring the noise, you know, to 109th and Figure Road, you know what I'm saying? We got to handle our business. We ain't letting nobody step on our toes. Blood, rips, or whoever.
Right here, these are that.
Do you have a criminal record? You know who you are.
Come on, bullet holes, scars. Come on, 19, 20 years in prison. YA, camp, juvenile hall, San Quentin, Spokane, Solidar, Cork, Pelican Bay, Chino, the whole.
Well, this show is definitely for you then.
I think the police out here primarily arrest criminals, irregardless of their hue, criminal allegiance, sex, religion, faith, all that. They are out here to arrest criminals. And gang members tend to fall into the criminal realm. They're criminals. They shoot, kill, pack illegal weapons. They're criminals. So as a consequence of that, they have to have a gang division of the police department. No, but the pigs ain't out just to arrest a certain person. They are anti-criminal. I ain't mad at them. That's their job. Bravo, no, I ain't got nothing against them. As far as they being soldiers, taking money out of the bank. If they swat me on some activity, I gotta get down with them. That's the rule. Well, I ain't gonna fuck with them for no reason, and they ain't gonna fuck with me. Cause I drive by the rule. I ain't got nothing against 5-0. They push up on me, I'm getting near. And the motherfuckers know them.
Now, reaching out to you from the beautiful Pacific Northwest, it's Ken and Lisa.
Again, it's Ken Scott. I am a senior U.S. immigration law intelligence analyst with www.usentrywaiverservices.com. And as you guys already know, what we do is resolve all kinds of border crossing problems, whether it's U.S. waiver, whether you've been deported, whether it's denied entry, whether it's a ties and equities issue, some visa type stuff. So it could be almost anything. So anyway, this is going to be a quick episode. A topic came up, something about essential workers being allowed to enter the USA, but more importantly, essential workers basically now being allowed to apply for waivers, as was mentioned by a good friend of mine, the name of Michelle, who said the border is now taking packets for people who are essential workers. So if you're a guy and you're driving, well, I guess a girl as well, but if you're driving a truck and you have to cross the border to buy lettuce in Seattle and then you come back to Canada, then basically it sounds like the border will allow you to file your waiver packet. What I wanted to do is bring the Surrey manager in on this, and I need to get his input. So let me see if I can reach him. He was tied up over the weekend. Let's see. All right, let's see if he answers this time.
Hello.
Hanji, Hanji.
Hey, Ken, how's it going?
Sasiko Paji. Hey,
we're good. Oh, not much.
I have to apologize. I got to do you an intro, you know, because, you know, you're the great Rich. So I definitely got to do your intro. You're the Surrey manager. But before, as I'm looking up your intro, you can check out the email I sent you about this data regarding essential workers being allowed to apply for waivers now. But while you're doing that, I got your favorite intro I put together.
As the anticipation builds, you can feel it. What a legendary.
That's your intro, because I mean, after all, you're rich, so.
that's actually a great intro. You know how much I love going to the States, right? At any time, any given moment.
Yeah, when we spoke the other day, I never even told you I had that intro, so I know you're surprised. Cause you're like, oh, dig it.
Awesome.
I had another intro that I was going to use for you, and I mean, I said, should I use this one? I mean, after all, I gotta, you know, rep Surrey, so I was saying, should I use this intro?
I'm still around.
I was thinking about this one.
Bindi Johal's fast life came to a fast end.
Chris on the beat,
I said, this will be rich.
I'm still around.
Is this him? Anyway, so that's for another day. So did you see the email I sent you, eh?
I did. I just opened it up, and I was just doing a quick scan of it. So,
very perfect. Anyway, so Michelle said that the border now allowing packets for people who are essential workers, and I actually called the border myself and confirmed that they are taking waiver packets for people that are deemed to be essential workers, so to speak. So, but now. That's good in a way, obviously. But here's the deal. The deal is, in the email I sent you, I got the definition of essential travel. And what, you know, what I'm going to do is, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm going to read these out to you. Well, obviously, you've got it on your screen there. I want to read it to you quickly. U.S. citizens and lawful permanent residents returning to U.S., individuals traveling for medical purposes, for example, to receive treatment in U.S., individuals traveling to attend educational institutions, individuals traveling to work in the U.S., working in farming or agriculture. So, I mean, I guess berry picking, let's say, in Watt County. Individuals traveling for emergency response and public health purposes, you know, the doctor, et cetera. Well, I guess nurse as well. This one right here is where I was just wondering. Well, I'll come back to that one in a moment here. Individuals engaged in official government travel or diplomatic travel, that's self-explanatory, members of the U.S. Armed Forces and spouses and children and members of military, yada, yada. Individuals engaged in military-related travel, that's armed forces. But this one, individuals engaged in lawful cross-border traffic, such as truck drivers supporting the movement of cargo between the U.S. and Canada. Individuals engaged in lawful cross-border trade. In your opinion, what is your take on that?
If you are a truck driver moving cargo goods, such as PPE, you're bringing groceries, medical supplies, those are deemed part of the supporting the movement of cargo between both countries. Now, from my understanding, reading about this a few months back, the interpretation is that you cannot be a single transport driver with a transporter plate taking a vehicle from, let's just say for an example, Richmond, British Columbia, all the way to the port of Seattle. Vehicles have to be put on a specific car carrier. Mainly, it has to be more than one vehicle on a car carrier. It has to be taken to the destination, offloaded, turned around, either pick up more vehicles to be brought back to Canada. It's a broad spectrum, but it's basically saying if you're supporting the movement of cargo and goods, then you are deemed an essential worker. You can't just be, you know, a bus driver, a limo driver, a taxi driver. You do not qualify for that as an essential driver.
So,
an essential worker, sir.
If I were to play devil's advocate, and you know me, you know I will try to stretch something until it breaks. So, if an individual is engaged in lawful cross-border trade, truck driving, okay, so I go down across the border and I pick up a load of peaches in L.A., bring them back to Surrey, that's allowed. We do have a gentleman.
That's correct.
Probably yeah. Don't know this, but we have a gentleman who's going to be come on board. And you remember we discussed we're going to take our people, meaning our clientele, down to the border in a limo service. We're going to start that up when this COVID ends. It was actually supposed to start before, but COVID kind of knocked it out. So he called the border today, the gentleman, because he's going to, like I said, we're going to start limo service. We pick you up, take you down to the border, the file, bring you back up to the, I'm going to say Surrey location in this case, and then yada, yada. So he called the border today to find out, and they told him, you know, no, but hell no, you're not considered essential. But if I look at this, an individual has to travel for medical purposes. Let's say you have to go down to Seattle to get a new head or new leg, you know, attached to your body. And if you cannot drive there and you cannot fly there, if he's taking you, would that not, well, you're not considered cargo, but he's facilitating the entrance of someone who's traveling for medical purposes. But would that be covered?
No.
In your opinion?
Human? No. And if I can't speak intelligently. You know, every border guard has their own, individual mandates to let, you know, who comes in into the States and vice versa, you know, and within Canada. But human is not considered cargo. So an individual, this is only restricted to land borders, basically, when you're driving across. You can still fly for your medical appointment. And it's very vague, but it's still transparent. It's still open, where it does say that even taking ferries, Amtrak or a rail, Greyhounds are, you know, basically shut down. And so an individual escorting another individual is not considered essential. You can't be I can't be taking, you know, someone right next to me, you know, that I don't know from a hole in the ground. They're not family. And they're just somebody that I'm transporting across the border. The border guard is going to turn both of us around and say, look, either you guys quarantine and, you know, for me, I could just understand the border guard saying you got to quarantine. And if you get returned to Canada, and even if you were in America for just a minute, chances are you'll probably have to quarantine just because you crossed the border. And essentially, meaning not that you actually crossed into the States, meaning that you've entered the United States border. They're going to turn you around when you come back to Canada. They will make you quarantine. There was an actual story on that. That couple wanted to take their trailer and to go to the States without really stopping. But how do you really stop? You must stop for food. You must stop for gas, bathroom breaks. And they were only in the States for a few minutes. They got turned around back to Canada, and they were denied. And they had to be quarantined back in Canada. And they are Canadian citizens. So I just do not see individuals that are not cargo. And I'm not saying, you know, humans are supposed to be cargo, because they're not. They're not essential. They're not part of this program here. So.
Well, I mean, well, we do have trucker clients, so, I mean, that part's fine. But I was just thinking, like I just said, you know me, I will stretch something until it breaks. So I was looking at this, thinking, how can I stretch this? A guy going to USA, he needs a new, new leg or new head. So he's essential, but if he cannot, I guess, yeah, they say, well, you know, jump on an aircraft, sir.
In the actual U.S. Provision there that they've given, it says individuals to travel to work for emergency response. I don't see a Canadian really going into the States to Beverly Hills for plastic surgery as, you know, essential. That would only be quoted for individuals that are Americans that are staying in Canada that need to return back for medical purposes.
That's a good point. It does say medical treatment, though. What's considered treatment?
Well, treatment would be considered plastic surgery. I mean, if you need it. I mean, but I don't see a Canadian going all the way to, like I said, to Beverly Hills to get plastic surgery done, when the same procedure can be done in Vancouver, in Toronto, you know, various other cities. But you do have to understand,
you sound like an
officer
now.
Well, you do have to realize, well, that's just the way, you know,
you have to realize
this is only mandated to American citizens. American citizens are allowed to return to their home soil. If you lived in Point Roberts and you need to go to Seattle, I mean, you can cross into, you know, back into Canada, you know, through Delta, enter Whatcom County, go straight down to Seattle, because you are limited at best. You cannot fly out of Point Roberts. You really can't take a boat out of Point Roberts to go to any, because recreational boating is basically done to cross the borders. So many small parts of America have been basically, well, I wouldn't say abandoned, but they have been in a complete lockdown away from the main continent. So I could only see this being shown to Americans saying, yeah, you're allowed to fly to LA for your cosmetic surgery if you're from Point Roberts. I don't see, I just don't see a Canadian being allowed to do that. And the numbers aren't getting better.
Yeah, but you can still fly down for recreational. You know,
and that's
right. Yeah, I need to go.
Yeah,
but yeah, by land, say no, but hell no, and they're at the door. Go home.
Yeah. They're just gonna turn around. Yeah. They're gonna turn around, send you home, say, you know, good luck and good luck for the future, right? So.
Yeah, I guess I like to stretch whatever I can to help our people. So it looks like this is mostly going to apply to the truckers. And I guess maybe the RNs, but yeah. Well,
if you're part of the medical field, if you're a doctor, if you're a nurse, if you're a medical practitioner, a medical, you know, office assistant, you are considered essential workers. But at the same moment, you basically have to be invited by the Americans to go and help out there. During the California wildfires, California was basically depleted of firefighters. They asked Canada, if you've got any reserves, can you send volunteer firefighters to come and help? And they were granted that pass, but it's just a one-time pass basically, right? So.
Right. So, yeah. I mean, yeah, it makes perfect sense. So, well, I guess the people, I've told some people already, the truckers, so the truckers are fine. But the other ones, I said, look, if we can deem you essential, and I told a couple of hundred people that have their packets, you know, ready to go waiting. They said, Ken, where? I said, look, don't worry. And then found this house. I said, oh. So I told everyone, obviously not all were qualified. So I was going to say, okay, well, you know what? We tried. So for now, for the moment, it's only you guys who drive truck or, you know, school or medical field or et cetera. The guy who's a plumber or a ditch digger, and let's say Abbotsford, he won't be able to go across the border to Bellingham because they say, why are you essential? I mean, we got plumbers in Bellingham. We don't need you.
Right. And the thing is, in the note, it does say the essential travel is, it's not limited to. So, you know, that's what I'm saying. Like if you're a firefighter, you know, medical officer, assistant or office assistant, you know, practicing nurse, you know, registered doctor, you know, a student doctor, you would be allowed based on being essential. Truckers, if you're, you know, taking goods, which are, you know, categorized in specific categories logistically to keep, you know, the countries going. You
right.
can't just be taking, yeah. you can't be taking Samsung televisions from here to, you know, Oklahoma, because that's not really considered essential, right? There's other logistical ways to send that.
Oh yeah. Having said that, we have a guy. I'll call him Mr. P, who transport vehicles. Mind you, it's not on a car carrier. It's with, you know, guys just driving the cars across. He says he's moving cargo. He swears that he qualifies because Mr. P knows everything. So he told me he qualifies. I was okay, but I said, I don't think you qualify just transferring a car. He said, but it's cargo. But he's not driving the truck that has the car carrier. He's just driving the car to, let's say, from Surrey down to Bellingham. He's like, I'm transporting a car. I said, that's a stretch right there.
I'd actually be very surprised if he actually gets across. But with that being said, you know, I want to see that in person also. Like if he's got a video, I want to see that video recorded going from, you know, point A to point B, because in my personal opinion, I just don't see that happening.
Well, this episode is dedicated to people, you know, in the group who saw this post today about the border taking packets for essential workers, and also for the people that we have who are, I guess, essential workers, et cetera. So now they're going to have the answer. We'll post this, and then, you know what? It is what it is. So we got to wait for this thing to get better. JR has said online that he feels the border is going to open April. I'm kind of inclined to agree that it's likely going to be between, you know, January and April. I tell people February, but it could very well be April. So we might be on the same sheet, you know, music, him and I, in that sense. What do you think?
I just don't see the border opening until the beginning of the new year. It's an election year. We don't know what is going to happen election time. We don't know if the current president of the United States will leave office, you know, before inauguration. And it takes time to open these borders. They're just not done, you know, in a matter of minutes or hours or overnight. They have to come to agreements. There has to be mandates put in place. But I would not surprise me in the least bit that it would take, you know, into the first quarter of 2021 to open. But we've seen stranger things happen. So,
well, the good thing about, well, I guess it's not a good thing. The thing about that is, you know, it gives us time to have these packets ready to go. As you know, people are still, they're still coming in, they're still paying, they're still signing up. So for us, in that sense, it has not slowed down. So we just tell people that, hey, when the border opens, then you file. Like, for example, how was your day today?
Well, we just had, well, not we, but I just finished with one client probably a little over half an hour ago. And her thing is that she needs to get across the border. She's got her, they are fiance. They do want to get married, but they're going to do a destination wedding. And she basically said, look, I'm all game. I'm 100%. You know, let's get this going. As soon as the border opens, I'm there. I'm going to be one of the first people, pay the government fee, and just wait and get my waiver so I can go and be, you know, with my future spouse. And I said, you do have to realize the border is closed for the time being. And, you know, they do extend the borders all the time. And she said, well, she understands it's a election year. She said, I want my packet ready to go. So I'm just, boom, 100%. And she's, like I said, she came on board and, you know, I'm happy to work on her case. So.
Because as you know, the people, you know, ring up and we bring them in. I mean, a lot of times I don't really know as much in terms of details. You fellas handle that aspect of it. So, I mean, that part's great. So. So far, it hasn't slowed down as much in that sense, but it's just disheartening when I tell people you cannot file just yet. So it is what it is. You know, they accept it. So that part's fine.
Right. And it's just, a minor setback. I mean, it's not that they, you know, denied you completely, that you can never go back. It's what it was written in the manual there for, you know, It was said, the notice of action given the outbreak and continued transmission and spread of COVID-19 within the United States and globally, the Secretary has determined that the risk of continued transmission and spread of COVID-19 between the United States and Canada poses an ongoing specific threat to human life or national interest. With that, you know, I when I tell people that, I say, look, Americans are worried right now. So, you know, some states, the numbers are higher, some provinces, the numbers are higher, but overall, you know, everybody's trying to do their best to, you know, limit the curve, right? So instead of, you know, everything rising, everybody's trying their best. And I think between Canada and US, they are diligently doing their dues, working twice as hard. They know people, snowbirds, are you know, they're wanting to travel. Some like to drive, some will fly, other people just kind of like to vacation, you know, whether it be Florida or California, Hawaii, and the only thing we can do right now is wait. We're at the mercy of, you know, the U.S. government.
Well, that's true. That sucks, eh? So so
I mean, I'm waiting.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I was just going to reiterate and say, you know, I miss my family and friends that are all in the States also. It's been months. The only way if I basically, I mean, I could fly out there and fly back, but it's just, you know, the logistics parts of it, specific parts of it, you know, flying, you know me, I don't like to fly, you know, often. I'd rather travel or by car if I could, but with COVID and the numbers that are just rising all across, you know, North America and United States, I've just told family and friends, you know, let's just put things on hold and, you know, we'll see each other. I mean, we talk to each other on Skype and Zoom, on WhatsApp, but I miss them, and I sympathize with many clients coming in. They miss people, they miss the travels, and that's the way, you know, before COVID, the borders were free to travel across, you know, without having that limitation.
Yeah, they cannot legally enter. Obviously, people are entering through the woods, you know, zero AV, but you know, they're still getting in. They go in and out themselves, but the regular Joes, like Joe the plumber, he cannot do that. But so-and-so, they run through the woods, go to Bellingham, Seattle, whatever, and come back. It's, I don't know. It leaves me speechless. But I was going to tell you also. As you know, we tried to get a hold of you the weekend, but you were unavailable, which we apologize for that. I think in that episode I had said that you speak to the people from Tehran and Chandigarh. I think I said that, and if I did, I got it mistaken. You speak to mostly the English speaking clientele.
Well, I stick to the local, you know, people that that come in, you know, whether they're coming in from the lower mainland or interior British Columbia or down. And, you know, I speak in many different languages. Just, everything's based on English nowadays. So, you know, people understand me when I tell them the honest truth, and I understand them individually. And every individual is unique. Their cases are very unique. Everybody is that's come to see me, that, you know, they understand exactly where I go with telling them steps, what's going to be need to be done, how things are progressing. And at the end of the day, my job is to make sure you get the cross.
And the people always give a rave review about you. I mean, it's, they just love you. I mean, they like me too, but they just love you. I tend to gear towards the ones who don't speak as much English, so that's kind of my specialty. One's from Chandigarh and Jawaharlal and, you know, places like that. But yeah, so we all have it like broken down to different groups. You know, Jimmy sees whom he sees, Mike sees who he sees. So it's a well-oiled machine,
and I
tell people.
Yeah.
So I tell people, we have everything covered. We got the counseling, if you need a psychologist, if whatever, whatever. The last thing I need to get is a doctor. I need to get a shrink on board. But everything else we got covered.
Well,
the drug test is covered. Yeah, everything.
Well, it's like the client that came today. I mean, she was asking, you know, certain aspects of her convictions, and, you know, you said, you know, go and see me, and she came and saw me, and she's like, oh my God, you're very knowledgeable in everything that I told you, and that's why, like I said, she was excited, she came on board, she knows the situations, and she knows how the program works. A little bit of coaching, and she's good to go. So, but like I said, everybody's comfortable when they come in. The people that come from overseas are very comfortable with you and Jimmy. People that are local, they're very comfortable with me. So with that, like I said, there's no language barrier where they are not comfortable with.
We just got it all locked down. That's it. Hence, that's why we have the 99% success rate. That's why I would venture to say, at the risk of sounding arrogant, like I, my natural self, is why we're the best in the industry. So we got some haters out there, as I'm discovering. I discovered some new haters today. But, I mean, it is what it is. But, you know, it's COVID. Oh, I'm not going to be negative. You know, I want everyone to be safe, even the haters. I wish them well, be safe. I just want people to be happy with the service they received, and the fact that what they received, the service, that they got what they paid for, you know, they walk out smiling. That's our goal, you know, when the day's over. And then this nitpicky stuff that you see with some haters trying to toss at us. That I said, you know what, people, it's COVID. You got people who lost loved ones, yada, yada. I said, cut the BS. This is not the right time and place. That's just my philosophy, you know. It's just my, you know, my nature. But
well, what
it is, what
the,
it is. So
exactly, it is what it is. I mean, you know, I don't work for other companies. I don't work for CBP. I don't work for DHS. I don't work for ICE. You know, I work on behalf of the client. I make sure everything
exactly is
bulletproof. I's are dotted, the T's are crossed, and make sure that, you know, you tell me the honest truth that everything that happened so I can put it together and show Department of Homeland Security there's no reason for them to deny you.
Exactly. Oh, by the way, quick note, I just look at text messages, but the gentleman who I told you about yesterday, I likely will be seeing them, the entertainers, so to speak.
Sure.
So he just sent me a text message here.
Nice.
So those gentlemen, it's best if they deal with me directly, because it's a better fit, because, you know, it's best to have the best fit for each person. They're best fit for me.
There you go. And like you always say, right? Like you always say, right? Whatever, whoever an individual feels comfortable with. I mean, there's multiple languages. Like I said, you're better off with people, you know, from foreign countries, overseas.
Well, true. And if someone comes in
garnered,
and, you know, they want to barter the price, and the administrator, drives her mental when they want to barter the price. But I said, well, come on. You know, the guy says, Mr. Kim, please give me a discount. And yada, yada, back and forth. I was like, okay, this is the price then. And she just pulls her hair out when she hears that. I said, well, look, the gentleman, you know, wanted a discount. Yada, yada. She said, he has lots of money. I said, no, the gentleman, you know, wants a discount. He understands he's a hard time. He's got, you know, a wife, kid, and yada. And she says, yeah, she says, bullshit. He pulled up in a Range Rover, and he had no money. I said, well, he told me he has no money. But anyway, that's just the administrator. She is what she is. She's got that Eastern European blood. It's either yes, no, or go to the gulag, so to speak. But that's fine. We all work together, and we make stuff happen. But I don't want to hold you up, though, I know. So I just wanted to do this quick episode and obviously get your input. So any last words for you?
No, I mean, people that, like I said, if they're not considered the essential travel, and if, you know, they're a little lost on what essential workers are, I mean, they can be more than free to email us. info@denied entry to USA.com. If they need to see, you know, what, you know, USA's letter states, you know, what is and what isn't the essential worker. I mean, that's on the actual website, but if you can't find it, or, you know, just email us, we'll help you along the way. Or at the same time, you know, call. I mean, you know, the number is 1-888-908-3841. I mean, that's what we're there for. We're there to help you.
And that's why everyone loves you. I mean, the stuff I miss, you're right there on top of it. That's why we all work together like a well-oiled machine.
There you go.
I'm more like the kind of wild one. You're the reserve one. Well, you're a mixed up. I'm more the quasi-wild one.
Well, you know, any individual is allowed to come and see me. You know, the only thing I can really do is I tell the clients one or two ways. Either I could help you or I can't. And, you know, I don't like to say I can't, because I love a challenge. I love to, you know, my job is not to make the law. My job is to make sure I can, you know, get around the law so you can be free and clear.
Yeah, you definitely love challenges. I'm the opposite. You know me, I like things smooth and easy. And, I am the Saul Goodman of the business, of the industry. I will admit it. I'm Saul Goodman of Breaking Bad. But the day's over. You know, you get what you pay for. So it is what it is.
That's a good character reference for you, actually.
Well, like I said, every client who's been convicted, he's either rehabilitated or wrongfully convicted. If he's been charged, he's innocent. Simple. Charged and not convicted, innocent. He did not do it. So convicted, wrongfully convicted, or rehabilitated. Nothing else. Administrator, she frowns when she hears those words, but whatever.
Well, everybody deserves a second chance. Nothing's ever, you know, nothing's ever, you know, done in life. You always have, you know, moments to, you know, change your life around, to do things differently.
You know what? I could not have said it any better than that. But on that note, I know you got to go meet some other people, so I won't hold you up here.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, what? I've got the next one coming in at 2:30, so that gives me some time to.
The last thing I was going to say was, I think one thing we should probably do, new thing, is the criteria for waivers to be approved. You know about that list. It'd be nice to show people that actual list of the criteria. So I say, look, this is the list from CBP that says your waiver will be approved or denied. So when they look at that list and we check off, okay, this is fine, that's fine, that's fine, go down the list, and then we make sure that none of that stuff applies, then we say, you know what, there's a 99% chance you'll be cleared. And that
go ahead.
No, I said that would put more people at ease and say, look, this is the criteria from CBP that says, well, they will say yes to your waiver or no. And the people will say, okay, well, I say, look, it can't get any higher than that. This is their authority. So do you follow this criteria? And the guy says, no. Okay, well, you'll be cleared. Or if I say, do you follow this criteria? And the guy says, yes. Well, brother, you know what? Hold on to your money. Come see us in, I don't know, 3 or 4 years, and then you'll be good to go. Keep your money.
Right, Ken. So with that being said, that's CBP's generic, basic, you know, yes or no, where do you fall in this category? Where when we see specific clients, we tailor it to what we know that, you know, is going to make sure that their case is bulletproofed. So there's a lot of things that are not on that generic list that needs to be specified. And we need to focus on that specifications on every individual's unique cases. Because like I said, I've had so many different, and most of it, I don't like to call it, you know, generic, that they come in and they say, well, I did this, because everybody did something. Maybe they were 18, maybe they were 42. Nobody knows. Everybody's always different. There's always been different circumstances. You could have been caught in a stolen vehicle. Heck, you could have just opened a bag of potato chips and started eating it, and they claim that theft. But with that being said, every case is always different.
Exactly. And right before I close, I'm thinking I'd like to have JR on the show and just discuss a lot of these things. This would be a bit of a different dynamic. So I'm thinking maybe next week, during the week, we can put aside one day of an episode and get JR on the phone. And then we can just hash out so many things.
Sure. Just not this Saturday, because it's Halloween and I want everybody to enjoy Halloween this weekend. So.
Oh, yeah, including yours truly, of course. So, yeah. So, all right, brother, I won't hold you up then. And you got to go back to work. So, if nothing else, I will tell the group here, join us for our next episode on the Denied Entry to USA show. And I guess that's going to be next week.
Sounds good. So hopefully the people that are listening or that will be listening, like I said, you know, don't be shy. You know, we're there to help
exactly.
You. We're
in
there
the words,
when you need us.
In the words of my Vulcan colleagues, for everyone, live long and prosper.
And I'm doing the Vulcan thing.
Stand again. Gotta represent. Stop it. Throw L.A. every day, nigga. Monthly, yearly. 34 to be exact. Nigga, fear me. Atomic dog. I'm in your zone, your area. Bull massive pit bull terrier. I'm coming through like the Wu dump in chambers. Third light. Get it right, nigga. Danger. 7 shots to my body, ain't no killing me. Lock and load, double back, I had you feeling me. 40 Glock up on your block, headshot. Chest plate getting blown when the 9 knocks. And in the distance, ain't no resistance. Say your homeboy swear they gonna murder me. Said they heard of me, they think I'm on a murder spree. But when they roll up and chase try to find me, that's when I'm dumping with the fat Mac 90. From the cradle to the grave, I've been kicking static. I've been around from revolvers to automatic. See, I'm a stand-up, stomp down soldier. much older now from back then when I was thugging in my songs on my black swim. See, I'm a G, nigga, married to this thug shit. Here the COE, Sherm stick. That's how we do it, kicking back.
What up? Join us next time for another episode of the Denied Entry USA Show. A show to not only educate you about U.S. entry waivers, but we're also here to help you stay out of trouble. Make your choices in life wisely. Handle your business, or your business will handle you.
Yeah, we're gonna give y'all a little something about what happens on an everyday life over here, man. Each and every day, it's the same niggas, the same people, the same community, whatever. We don't change.
As I ride, smoking that pot, hotel stay lit, my eyes are slow, they clinging like fire. I keep complacent, but I know I get so higher. See, man, it's something that cut with Levi's on Crete. Don't peace, if you got beef, let's handle it in the street. Ask free, pancakes, my G's gon' bounce up. Spit by 100 on chronic, it's smoke the whole dog and ounce up. Bitches coming, they gon' see.